Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, it's your favorite kind of episode. It is a love story. And you guys, this love story is so tender. Like, as I'm saying it, I have all the goosebumps and the chills. I'm bringing to you an absolutely precious, lovely, beautiful international client. Her name is Bianca, and she's 36 years old, and she is from Canada and has found love, and she is here to inspire you. And I think a lot of you will see yourself in Bianca. And I want you to know, if this sounds like you, feels like you, there is so much hope. Bianca, I am so delighted and honored to have you on the Smart Dating Academy podcast. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. I am a Love Club graduate from 2023. It is true.
Oh my gosh. Now, where do you live in Canada?
I live in Southwestern Ontario. So it's very close to Toronto. Well, very close. It's an hour and a half to Toronto. I'm definitely in the denser part of the province, but we still get quite a bit of snow, the legendary snow that everybody talks about. And, you know, it's actually a very beautiful part of the country because of the lakes and the birds. I'm into birding. I volunteer for Birds Canada. We get quite a few bird species because of the ecosystem. Anyway, it's a really nice place to live. I actually just moved in. We just moved into our home and we're trying to settle in into the area. And it's just a really nice neighborhood. A lot of families, a lot of people my age, actually the demographic just happens to be a lot of people my age, and a lot of people just trying to move up in their careers. We have a lot of industry in the area, and that's how I would best describe it. But the traffic sucks. If you're wondering, yes, it sucks all over the province from north to south, east to west. There's no way out of it.
It's just sucky traffic. So Bianca, give us a little bit about your demographics.
So I am 36 years old right now. And I probably didn't start seriously dating until I was 28. So very late bloomer. No particular reason for that. I happen to be a chemist from the University of Guelph. So I think I did spend quite a bit of time studying. I think that took up a lot of my time for a long time.
She's a very smart girl, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I think the best way I would describe, I think it's important to understand my upbringing. I actually grew up in a very traditional, very loving household with both my parents. People always assume if you're single, you know, mom or dad must have been out of the picture. That's not true at all. My parents were both actually very hands-on, very loving, took me to everything, swimming, dance, you name it. They were there. So I was very supported, and I had my forever playmate, who is my sister, and she lives like 20 minutes away from me now. So we're still very close. And my extended family, I had my entire extended family growing up. So I was hugely supported. I think what actually happened is, as a chemist, we're nerdy. So, you know, right. It's part of the territory. In case that wasn't obvious from my Birds Canada volunteering pitch. But anyway, you know, introverted by nature, I think, independent adult. I don't like the word independent because it makes me sound like I never wanted anybody or I never needed anybody, but I just self-sufficient, I think, is the right word. So, and really by my mid-20s, almost kind of like a perfect storm, everyone was married like magic. Like everyone I knew, like everyone in my family had somebody, and all of my friends had somebody. And there was just nobody dating. They just all had a really good sense of themselves and who they wanted in a partner. And so they just married the first person they picked. And like with no issue, like nobody has problems. Like everybody's just like living life. And I'm like, how did this happen? How did you even know, right? Like, did you like radar? Was it like you, I see you, you my forever love. And they could never articulate why it worked. I think that became my frustration because I, as an analytical person, like you try to get to the bottom of it. So it's like, how did you even know to do this? And they just, or how do you resolve conflict or how do you not have fights? There's just no answers. Just all I heard is when it's right, when it's the right fit, when it's the right fit, which of course is nothing that you can input online or meet at a bar, right? You can't go into the bar being like, I'm looking for my right fit. So just, if you're not, just get out of my way. And they're like, it doesn't happen like that.
It sure does not. Even if you think there's no set algorithm, right?
No.
So people like you, my parents are chemists. I worked and we had a chemicals company. So this is probably why Bianca and I gelled immediately. So, right. We want a formula. We want an algorithm, right? And what we're doing is probably the closest thing to an algorithm that we can find. So.
No, 100%. And so basically I was walking around with a knowledge gap. I knew I was missing something. I just wasn't sure what it was. And then you finally start dating and it doesn't work out. I actually had like my first boyfriend who's now happily married to somebody else, somebody way better suited for him, by the way, because people always ask me, they're like, so do you like hate her? And I'm like, no, I was like, not at all. I always get these weird questions, but anyway, so he's very happily married now. But when he and I met, it was at my friend's wedding. He was a groomsman and I was a bridesmaid and we met walking down the aisle. It was like right out of Hollywood. So on that criteria alone, we should have just sailed off into the sunset forever and ever. And we tried actually for about 2 years and just finally had to call it quits because it wasn't getting anywhere. And then it only got worse. They would like treat me badly, not call me back, could never get them on the phone, right? Just all of these things. And I think the problem is, I thought about this long and hard, like in hindsight. And I think I know they get picked on a lot right now. So this is a bad example, but like Disney, we all love Disney. We all grew up with the movies of Disney, with the storyline of Disney. But it just like, if you see this plot kind of over and over again, what basically gets internalized is I have to be the hottest person in the room. I have to find the hottest person, the other hottest person in the room. We have to do this before we're like 20. And, and he has to be like super rich and slay a dragon. And I have to be like trapped in a tower with like an evil stepmother. Otherwise, we can't be happy. And so you get into this notion that you have to have this fantastical storyline in order to find love, passionate, never-ending love. And it's so odd because so you have this like massive expectation hanging over you, no criteria of what Prince Charming even looks like. And everybody's just like, you'll find him. Just go forth. No worries.
Absolutely.
So like no playbook, and it just kept getting like worse, like truly it just kept getting worse because so then I had probably like my worst breakup, of like a serious relationship that just abruptly ended because it was a dumpster fire. And then I go back into the dating world and the first guy I date is married. And the second guy I date is not only married, but like she finds me on Facebook to be like, what is your problem? And I'm like, I didn't know he was married. And so it just like deteriorated. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I am a fan of Steve Harvey, American comedian Steve Harvey. I'm sure a lot of you are. And I had watched his show for a long time and Bella was on the program. And I remember thinking, because you guys did a really interesting one where like you went through their profile pictures, and kind of explained what they were doing wrong in their profile. And I remember thinking that's the first time I've ever seen it analyzed. Like before that moment, I had never had anybody point anything out to me. And I thought, well, that was really unique. And then I continued to see you on ABC. And I think MNBC, if that sounds right.
Yeah.
So I just kept seeing you on television like all the time. I was like, she must be somebody. And then I started following your YouTube channel. And then I think I finally just decided I'm going to make the call. I'll just go for it. I had looked through the website. I had watched you on YouTube. So I had kind of gotten a sense of you and what the Smart Dating Academy might be about. And so I thought, I'm not getting anywhere, right? As an academic, I thought I just need a professional coach. That's basically it, you know? So I made the plunge and we got going on the phone coaching. And that was like right when COVID hit, like literally we go into lockdowns, right? Because I think I was like, I'll just fly to Chicago and like the border gets shut down.
The border shut down. Right. And like, you're like, okay, I can't come to you. So I'm going to do this remotely. And thank goodness for Zoom.
Yeah, thank God. Because not just Zoom, but thank God for online dating. And just because otherwise I would have just been trapped in my condo waiting for COVID to end. So we were in this really strange bubble. And I think a lot of that we pioneered together and the other clients, right? Because we were just getting used to video dating because there was no other option. And I think that's just one aspect of how the Smart Dating Academy innovates. Like they don't, I think it's very important to note that like they, like you guys go with the trend. Like you don't try to create trends. You don't try to bucket. You're just like, okay, what is people doing right now? How can we optimize it? And so, you know, I was on board for this, but what I was not prepared for, and I'll be honest about this, because I did think it was going to be a lot of hair and makeup, and there's some hair and makeup and how to dress, which I still use to this day. But I remember when I got assessed by Lindsay because I was receiving the feedback that dates with me felt like interviews, which is not what anyone trying to be a princess locked in a tower wants to hear. So, right, like it's just like the exact opposite of what you're going for. So Lindsay was like, yeah, I can see it. And she was like, do you work in a male dominated industry? And I actually do. And I was like, how would you even know that? And she was like, because you sit like this. And I was sitting like this when she was talking to me. And I was
arms
like,
crossed.
Arms crossed, leaning back. I think it's probably like far back as I could go, probably something like this. And so, and she was like, you're not smiling. She was like, and you're firing questions at me. Right. So, you know, it is what it is. And I was like, okay. And so then we had like a couple of, I think, emergency sessions to try and fix this because there was no way I was going to go into the dating field until like this got corrected. And I had to go get photos because all of my photos up to that point had not even been selfies because that would have been better. It was like friends of mine, like when I'm playing with their kids, like there was one in particular that I always remember because she and I still make fun of this. So she had like some kind of flower in the garden. And I was like, this will be great for my profile shot. And so like we kind of shove her kid out of the photo and she takes the shot. And that's my headshot for like online dating. So Lindsay was like, these have to go. Like you have to go get like real photos. So while we were waiting for that to happen, I did like the program. And so I remember being blown away by my attachment style. I am a recovered anxious attachment style. I think probably the biggest thing I learned from that was direct communication. Oh my gosh, you have no idea how much a difference that makes just in itself. Just to be able to say what you mean when you mean to say it has already just been an improvement. But so my attachment style, you know, how to present yourself, confidence, because so much of it, right? Like a first date is so stressful. You know, you have no idea who you're meeting. You have no idea how you're going to come off. And so much of it is insecurity. It's kind of self-sabotage because you already go in thinking this is going to be a disaster because I don't know what I'm doing. And then it is because you don't know what you're doing. So I think like correcting my mindset, I remember it's a psychotically optimistic. Do you ladies still use that? Oh my gosh.
Absolutely. I love it. All day, 100%. Every day.
It's the only way to be just borderline delusional, optimistic. You know, it's a really nice way to live actually, to be honest.
Right.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a much more freeing way to live. It's better to just try and fail than to never try at all, I think, is also what I've learned from this experience. But my point is, so, you know, Lindsay and I were doing kind of all of this training, and Bella and I were joking about this before. So Lindsay asked me, because I'm not great with small talk. So she was like, well, you have to go talk to the cashiers at the grocery store, right? Easy in, easy out. If it doesn't work, you leave. And I was like, what do you mean? She was like, say hi to them. And I was like, I don't think I can handle this. So I went to a Sobeys to try this out. And you know when you like sweat, but not from like your forehead, but like from your back? Like, I don't know if anybody's
ever experienced that. It's anxiety. It's like cortisol sweat.
Yeah, like you, like you're like, I'm going into a fever pitch. And like, I just had like oranges, right? Because I didn't want me to have to like pack in case this went wrong. So I'm just like literally with oranges. And like, you know, she's like a kid, basically. I went for the youngest person I could find because I thought, well, this will be easy. Because I feel like they're talkative. Maybe that's not a fair stereotype. And so I'm just like with my oranges trying to make small talk with this person. And, you know, it's brutal, but the net result is you can talk to anybody. Like that's what becomes the default. Like if you practice long enough, you can just introduce yourself to anyone, which I honestly never thought would be possible. So like now if I just see somebody in the road and they have something in their car that I wanted to buy, I just go up to them like, does this work for you? Like, is it good for you? And my husband like can't believe it. Like Derek's like, I don't know how you do this, but I'm like, practice. It's all about practice. Like in Amazing. A way that you can approach somebody in a non-creepy way that doesn't make them feel threatened and makes you feel confident. It's just about practice. Really, this whole thing is just about a learned skill set that you kind of just take with you. But I can hear myself babbling. Bella, you're welcome to like redirect me or cut me off at any time.
No, you're exactly. I mean, this is awesome. I think, Bianca, what I remember when you came in to us and you're like, I know certain things about myself. Like I think it was guys that are interested in sports. You liked people that worked in the trades, right?
Yep.
You're like, yep. Right. Like I know the kinds of guys I want. Like I like the electricians. I'm trying to remember exactly what we went through. I'm like, this is great. Like you have a really good sense of who a good partner is going to be for you. But then it was really about addressing these negative beliefs, right? It's like, is there anybody out there for me? How is this going to work? Am I actually going to find somebody? Is online dating going to work? And, you know, relationships have to be hard. They have to be high conflict because you had come from high conflict ups and downs in your prior relationship. So it was really working on these beliefs.
I honestly thought that was like a component, like that was a mandatory component. Like if the couple wasn't fighting, they weren't moving forward. Like, you know, I have a list of, I think, false values that really held me back for a long time. So all the good men are taken. Oh my gosh. How many times do we hear that even now, day in and day out, which is not even remotely true. I'm too old. Nonsense. You know, just friendly reminder, people who are in their 60s date, in case you didn't know.
70s and 80s too.
It's like, I didn't know either, but it's 100% true. I've made too many mistakes. That was a painful one. I definitely thought I had nixed it somehow. Like I had missed my opportunity, right? Because everybody at this point, like everyone I knew was like married with like three kids, not even just like one kid, like three. And so I thought I just missed this somehow, which is not true at all. Lasting love is a scarce commodity. I don't know why. My parents have been happily married for almost 40 years. I don't know if, you know, everybody I know has been married now for at least 10 years. So I don't know where I got that from. Oh, this was important. If I had been treated badly in relationship, I did something to deserve that. Now, look, take it with a grain of salt. If you're combative, you're combative, right? And it will cause problems. But, you know, as an anxious attachment style, you get so obsessed with the idea that you have to go out and just, I don't know, hook this person in. And you have to get everything right. And if you don't do it, like, this was it. But none of that's true. Like, you're a human being. You're going to mess up. Right. And if their response to that is to stonewall you, is to make fun of you, like these are red flags, which we're getting to, because I think that's the most important part of the program. But yeah, all relationships have high conflict. I actually believed that. It's crazy. Oh, and my career and hobbies will affect my ability to find a partner. I'm an academic. Like, so I happen to be in like that labeled career for women, right? So as a chemist, you just feel like that's a death sentence for dating. You know, you just think I'm way too nerdy, or I'm going to be, you know, all the preconceived notions they have of, I don't know, academic women, right?
Scientists.
When none of it's true. So I really thought, I remember for a long time, I wouldn't even mention my hobbies, you know, just like of going out to do field research for birds, like just total lockdown, wouldn't even say that at all. Cause I was like, how would I even bring that up organically? And so wouldn't even go there. And that women are at a natural disadvantage in dating. I don't know where we get this idea from. I don't know how that gets manifested, because I was trying to think of where in the universe I got this idea. I really just don't know. I guess maybe the obsessive beauty culture. I really just have no idea, but it's also just not, none of this is true. These are all just toxic ideas so that you'll settle for somebody who treats you badly. That's basically all they are. So
right.
It just prevents, so like 100%. It's just like, so if somebody's just like modestly nice to you, you're like, that's the one. And like, that's not remotely true at all. But anyway, so going back to what I learned from the dating academy. So yeah, so presenting well when you're nervous. So I finally, you know, I go back into the dating game, nervous. Totally nervous. Hated all of my photos, by the way, because statistically, we all pick the worst ones of ourselves. So Lindsay picked them. I remember thinking, I can't do this. I even said to my mother, I was like, I can't do this. She didn't pick a single one that I wanted. And mom was like, well, I guess that's what you signed up for, right? And so I still get compliments about those pictures to this day.
They're so cute.
Like people still ask, thank you. The people still ask me, where did you get these done? But I remember at the time thinking, because I wasn't reconciled to liking myself, I don't like a single photo that they posted.
Aww.
It was the only time I got nervous. I was like, maybe this won't work. I don't like any of these. But anyway, so we set up my profile. I'm back in the dating game. And of course, so you're in and you're getting dates, right?
You were getting a lot of dates.
I flooded, actually. That's not even for bragging points. That's just a net effect of the Smart Dating Academy. My inbox exploded because I didn't even remember Lindsay saying, give it a day and, you know, don't be terribly overwhelmed. Just kind of go through it. I remember thinking there's going to be like two there. I think I had like 50 hits, probably within like 48 hours. And I remember thinking, oh my God, if this momentum goes up, like I'll never find him. Like it actually became like the opposite reaction, you know, at
first. Overwhelming.
Yeah, it was. And so, you know, so, okay, so now what? So we start asking, because that's the thing, right? Like people always think online dating, you skip the process or you skip the love process. You actually have to do the process no matter what, no matter where you meet them, no matter how you meet them, you have to feel them out. There's no way around that. So of course, how do we do that? So probably the biggest asset that I got from the academy that I will use forever is the red flag radar. I don't think there was anything more valuable, but also just to keep you safe, like, because, you know, that's one reason I really wanted to do the podcast where I am. There was a story you can look up on the news. We had a woman in her 60s. She became a widow, went into the dating world, had my problem, no idea how to do this. Ended up in Hong Kong in prison because she accidentally became a drug mule for the person she met online. This was a grandmother, okay? And in COVID, so her relatives couldn't even visit her while she was incarcerated. So my point is, like, there are risks to meeting people that you don't know. And there are risks online, like catfishing. So I remember kind of being walked through of all the warning signs of what to look for, right? They don't agree to video dates. You know, if they don't, you can't talk to them on the phone. You know, all of that, like, they won't meet you at a place where you feel comfortable, like getting into all of that. But I remember the particular one that surprised me was being rude to wait staff. I actually thought that was being a bit picky, because I thought people have bad days. Some wait staff are bad, right? But I have to say, it spared me from one nasty fish, because we went into Tim Hortons, which is a chain over here, right? We have that everywhere at every street corner. So they serve coffee, and we went in and he blasted the kid behind the counter. And like, I was coming in late, so I didn't catch it. So I don't know if the kid messed up or whatever. But he's like 17, you know, so I was thinking it is what it is. And I was like, it's coffee. Like, they'll just remake your coffee. Blasted him so hard. I actually felt uncomfortable sitting in the restaurant afterwards. And in the past, I would have said, oh, you know, he's a guy, right? The tattoos, you know, it is what it is. But I followed the Academy rules and I thought, I am not going to call this person back. Well, he had a girlfriend who was expecting a baby. So spared me that one. Right. Because that's just what it is. Right. He was very selfish. He was very conceited. He didn't think he had to answer to anybody. That's really what that meant. And that's really what those red flags are. I love the line of, I don't remember how you phrase it. It's like, people show us who they really are. Our job is to believe them.
Absolutely. Like,
just 100%. Like, because that's really everything I ever needed to know about that individual, you know, and I haven't seen him since and I don't want to. But my point is, that's all I ever need to know about him. I don't like that was it. That was all I needed to see. And so I think the old version of me would have like laughed it off and thought, well, he's just having a bad day. You know, that's just what life is on the job for this poor 17-year-old. But no, like, it's not okay.
It's not okay. It's not okay. It's a character. It's displaying character, right? And if you flash forward now, you're newly married, but you've been in this relationship, and we'll get to Derek in a minute. But you see that things don't always go well, right? And when you look at somebody who flips out over a frigging coffee and loses their load over that, what is that person going to be like one day when they're angry at you, their intimate partner, right? If they 100%. Can do this in public, what are they going to do to you in private?
Yeah. Well, that's what you always have to ask yourself. You always have to ask yourself, could you deal with this person when things aren't great? That's all you should be asking yourself. That's all you should be asking yourself majority of the time. Yes, common values, of course, are important. I did do the 8 Dates program by the John Gottman Institute. You know, we did that. Derek and I did that before we got married. And that's how we had confidence in getting married, because we had gone through all of our core values, kind of what we wanted for the future. We had had all those conversations. You can't have those conversations with somebody who screams at a 17-year-old over coffee. It's not going to happen. No. They're not there for it. They won't stick around for it, to be honest. They'll end up ghosting you. They'll do you the favor because they won't sit through it. No. So definitely the red flag radar. I've even used it. I applied it almost immediately to my career. I had interviewed for a job and, you know, the supervisor was kind of just giving me all the wrong vibes. And I was looking at HR like, is it me? Like, can I see this? And it wasn't anything in particular. I think it was a couple of comments, you know, about some very reasonable questions I had made. And I just, you know, trusted my gut as I had learned how to do. And I did not take the job. And I have learned that since then, they've had very high turnover.
Wow.
Very high turnover. Yeah. They've lost 3 staff members just under, I want to say like 14 months. You know, just a revolving door at this moment in time, because high conflicts, right? It's very challenging to work with people who aren't willing to work with you, you know? So yeah, you have, it sucks. I know it really sucks. Like when you meet somebody and they're attractive and you think, oh, they're so much fun. And then you see the red flag, right? Like it comes out and you're just like, oh, like, no, like why?
No, please. Like, please just no red flags. And then the red flag shows itself. And if you have that scarcity mindset, that's when you're willing to sweep it under the rug, because you're like, oh, there's no good ones left. I'm being too picky. This is fine. He's a guy's guy. And we sweep that stuff under the rug. And that's where we go off track.
That's exactly what happens. That's exactly how it happens, because you just make allowance for it. I'm not saying anybody out there was like, well, I'll fix it. I know some people know that's not possible, right? That's not how we think. We're educated people. We just make an allowance. We just say it was a bad day. We just rule it out. We dismiss it for exactly that reason, because you think, even though at the time you're getting like 50 dates in your inbox, you think to yourself, I'll never find somebody who will match me. So it's really that mindset, that psychotically optimistic mindset, it in itself kind of like deflects so much of the people that we don't want to end up being with. There's no other way to say that. I know that sounds really harsh, but you know, who's not right for you, right? You just got to keep the mindset, I will find the lid to my pot. I will find this person. You have to stay focused on that. With anything,
I love that.
With your career, with your whatever you're going for, you have to say, I will get there, and kind of navigate as you're trying to get there. Because it's not easy. It wasn't a straight line. You know, it was a lot of, even after, you know, the second time going back with the Smart Dating Academy, that's probably when you were the most helpful, because you're still being rejected, you know, by people you like, people who don't call you back for whatever reason, people who were talking to you for like as much as 4 weeks, and then they're like, this isn't working for me. And you're like, really? Because you've been talking to me every day for 4 weeks, but okay.
Like, what just happened? Right.
And you get no answers, right? You have to live with no answers. You know, and I think those were days, because I remember you and Lindsay fielding a lot of those emails of like, this didn't work, he didn't call me back, blah, blah, blah. Because, you know, relatives aren't great with stuff like that, right? Like, if you go to relatives and you're like, well, he never called me back, relatives might say to you, well, what did you do wrong? Mm-hmm. Right? It's not always the response you're hoping for.
Right. It's like, oh, you screwed that up again, honey. What did you do? You're too picky. And that's why we have our clients not talk to family and friends about their relationships. Like, leave it with us. We will keep you on track, because as well-intentioned as they are, they don't do this for work. It's like asking your neighbor who's a lawyer if he can do your root canal.
It just, you know what? I say this with love. It actually just doesn't work. There, I have two fundamental reasons. One is hilarious. They will pick what works best for them. This has happened to me on blind dates, and I've known immediately who the friend was that was like, I've got somebody for her. Like, it's like I have the person sitting across from me. And so, right, they pick what would work for them, not necessarily what might be right for you. And also, yeah, they don't necessarily know what they're doing. Like, that's a harsh reality, but it's true, right? Especially in my case, because they all managed to pick somebody right out the gate. Nobody dated. There was nobody who had any idea how to use Bumble. People didn't know what I was talking about. They were like, you mean Match, right? I'm like, no, Bumble. I was like, there's more than one. Like, they didn't even, you know what I mean? So
no clue.
Some of us just don't have anything that they're working with. But sorry, I've lost my train of thought. Yeah, well, so red flags, that's kind of...
I love that. And I love that the rubric of red flagged helped you with dating, and it helped you in your own life with your career. And
yeah. And
tell us now, okay, so you're internalizing the model, you're dating SDA style, Smart Dating Academy style. Now, tell us about this amazing man, Derek, who is now your husband. How did he enter your life?
Well, that has its own cute story. We were still in the height of COVID. It was at the very start of 2021. And Ontario had actually just gone back into kind of like an emergency lockdown. It wasn't planned. So Premier Doug Ford locked us down over Christmas. Hugely controversial, but they felt like they had no choice. And so he and I had to meet outside in January. So it's like minus 20. And there's nowhere to go. There's no coffee shop. There's no movies. There's no dinner. There's no drinks. We were in a public park walking around in minus 20 degree weather. He actually had to use the restroom. Couldn't find any because they were all locked. And I had applied to Smart Dating Academy. I thought, okay, this guy loves war history, because we had done the video date. That's one reason I felt safe meeting him. He had no idea how to do it. It was adorable. So he turned on his camera, like a cell phone camera, and I could just see like this eyeball, like that's it. And I kept telling to him, like, pull it back, and he had no idea what I was talking about. And then like it cut, because Bumble had like just put in that feature and it wasn't reliable, so it cut out on him. And then we ended up talking on the phone, but I thought, okay, I'll meet him, he's trying. And so when we first got to the date, we had agreed to meet at a grocery store because it was one of the only places open and lit. And he actually went to the wrong Food Basics on the other side of town. And he was texting me like, where are you? I don't see you. And I was like, I don't see you either. And then I was like, oh, I know where you are. And so he drove to the correct Food Basics, and we walked around in minus 20 degree weather talking just very casually, you know, and he was actually very quiet. My husband has my problem. He's even more introverted and I would say even less social. You know, he has his group of buddies, they're ride or die, but he's just not great at reaching out to people who he doesn't know. And my husband works extended hours. You know, he can work 12 to 14 hour days. So, you know, he doesn't have a lot of time to just go out and try and meet people. So that's why he was online. And I actually went home after the first date thinking he's never going to call me back because he didn't say anything really. Like I was doing most of the talking, as you can hear now, and I wasn't really getting a lot of questions. And so I thought, well, I'll just never hear from him again. And he did call me back and we went walking for a second time in even colder weather. And just like for hours, just literally, I think until like our faces was going to fall off. And I remember thinking on the second date, he has a sense of humor. You know, it's pretty dry because he was shy, right? Like he was kind of being like, okay, I don't want to flood her with too much. But I thought, you know, if he could be himself, if he wasn't nervous, he'd actually have a sense of humor. And to be honest, we just kept dating that way because we had no choice. Like everything stayed locked. And so we, like, if I show the grandkids in the future, it's ironically just going to be a bunch of photos of birds in the winter. Like those were our photos from our first dates. In fact, we had this as our wedding cake topper on one of our dates. We saw this cardinal and he was really puffed up, you know, cause he's getting ready to do his thing. He's getting ready to date with us. And we just stared at this bird because he was really beautiful. And I like birds and I knew a lot about cardinals. And I shared this with him, which is what I write the death knell in the past, right? To just never talk about my nerdy hobbies. And he was just like so fixated. And so it ended up being our wedding cake topper that we were just male and female cardinals. And that's what I mean. Like,
aww.
Yeah, like it's so sweet on its own, you know, without like there's nothing wrong with Hollywood. Like if you meet somebody and it's love at first sight, go for it. You know, like I'm not going to say take what you can get because that's the absolute wrong attitude we want here. But like go with it. And that's another thing I just want to say, because like I have a lot of friends who like we're traditional and a lot of us are religious. And so they feel like if they go online, it messes with their fate. It messes with the path the universe has laid out for them. And as somebody who fully believes that God could literally mail the person to your door, like I still believe that even now, I would like to challenge you that if that scenario hasn't happened, you might not have the social skills to carry the relationship forward. And that's something serious to consider, because I think had I stayed in anxious attachment style, where the need is to text endlessly and call endlessly and check in to see where we're doing, it wouldn't have worked because his job just doesn't allow that kind of spare time. Like he doesn't have time to constantly answer my text messages and constantly reassure me that he's there for me. So I would just urge you to consider that if you haven't had a particular setup happen, that's not the end of the world. It might just be that you have to go a different way, that that's just your path. And it can still just be as fun and cute and romantic. It's just not a Hollywood byline. That's it. That's all you're missing. You're just not like, right? Like he's not Chris Hemsworth and we're not Anne Hathaway as much as we would like to be. Like it's just, right? Like, but that's okay. Like, that's okay. What I mean. Like, we're just like being a normal person looking for another normal, ordinary person, I think I should say. I'm sure the other two are totally normal, but just looking for another ordinary person. That in itself ends up being a fun story because that was our dating. Like, that was the big joke when we were dating, is that for like 6 months, we could only meet outside. We couldn't meet any of our relatives. My father has a chronic cough, so there was like no way that was happening. And I think his father was recovering from like an arm injury that had required surgery. So I couldn't meet his side of the family. So it was just kind of like us in the secret bubble for months and months.
And you did walk outside for all those months.
All those months. That's what I mean. Like no. Like, I think we went on one date because I think lockdown lifted just long enough that we could actually go in and eat a meal. And then it like immediately went back under lockdown again for Easter that year, like our particular province. And so I don't think he actually met my parents until June. But by that point, we had already done like the 8 dates, and we had already spent all of this time together. So there was no risk. And I didn't really need, I say this gently because I love my parents, obviously, and their opinion means quite a bit to me, but I didn't really need anybody's like approval or validation at that point. I had enough kind of security in the relationship that I thought this might actually be it already. Even back then, I didn't say anything because, you know, I do the whole year, right? We always recommend you do the whole year. But I just remember thinking this, at the very least, this is very different. Just
it's
very
promising.
Different.
And I know that we did, you knew who your elevator people were, the people that made you happy. And we talked about red flags, but then it's, what are the green flags? And I know from early on, he met your green flags. He, you know, loved your hobbies, liked you for you, was supportive and a cheerleader. And your relationship was just easy overall. And easy doesn't mean there's no conflict, but it means we can navigate through things easily. And for listeners, I just wanted, you know, hark back to one point. I know, you know, when Bianca was saying about Hollywood and everybody wants their meet cute to be something different, and we don't expect that to be online dating to some sense. But if you look at an amazing, high quality guy like Derek, who is introverted and who has, you know, great friends, but a small group, is not going to be the guy that's going to walk into a pub and be like, hey,
never.
Isn't the guy that's going to talk to the cashier, even if he's got a sack of oranges with him. So the place when you're meeting, the place, I'm not saying online dating is easy or it's without flaws or, but it levels the playing field. People, good people that are more introverted, but would make great partners. They feel more secure and like they actually have a shot at this by doing online dating. So that can be your meet cute, and it's a-okay, right? Right now, the data shows, since I started this business 15 years ago, that 1 in 3 marriages take place because of online dating. I think that number is dreadfully understated. So I just wanted to highlight the meet cute. I mean, listen to this story. You met on a dating app and you met and he was at the wrong store and he didn't know how to do a video date even before that. And you dated his eyeball, but then you're like, he's trying. And then he was at the wrong grocery store. And then your wedding toppers were cardinals, right? It's like all of this stuff. You couldn't plan a cuter story than that.
That's what I wanted to get across. Like, I think people get held back because they become so convinced that it has to be A plus B equals C. And if it's not that, it's just not happening, or it just can't be. And it's just, that's just such a misconception. We are flooded by that media line, I think, endlessly, just endlessly.
Oh my gosh.
We just get fed all these false values that if he's not a particular way, my husband would never walk into a bar and just go up into a woman and be like, you know what? I think you're stunning and I think you're the one for me. Never. He would die. We wouldn't be able to handle it. I don't think he could do it, to be honest.
He would vaporize.
So it would just never happen.
He would vaporize.
And even the hours. Even the hours that he was working, like, there's no way. He, at the time, he was working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, a week. So we were dating, I think, like, either every Saturday or every Sunday, just for a long time. And that's just how it was. And just very supportive of all, everything that I think I was most afraid of, right? Just like super nerdy into all of this, just right. Like, who do you know? Catalogs, birds, right? But just like into it, you know, cause he likes hiking. So it's not an issue, right? We'll just go hiking and he'll be like, oh, is that something over there? You know what I mean? Like, it's right. You just end up leaning in, but easy. Yes. I remember that. Absolutely easy, because for a long, 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 long time, and I don't know where I got this from, because it's not modeled for me. Like, it's not. Like, everybody I know has healthy, normal, good relationships. But for some reason, I thought, if this is not an uphill climb, I am just not making it to the top of that mountain. And that is not, it's actually exhausting. That's what you'll end up doing to yourself. You'll just it, like, if you're like listening to this and you're like, I hate dating, I'm exhausted, I'm confused, I have no idea what to look for. It's because you're operating with the wrong mindset. Just, I know that's hard to hear, right? Because a lot of us are intelligent people. A lot of us are very capable people who can make all of our own decisions, right? I think that was probably the biggest blow to my ego, was that despite having like a university degree, I couldn't date. You're just walking around like Hitch, like that movie. Like, I watch that movie now and I'm like, oh my God, like that was it. That was that moment. Like, that's how I see myself in the past now. And it's actually hilarious that it became a movie, because I was like, I'm not the only one. Like, somebody obviously lived that too. But right, like, it's that hard moment of where you're just sitting down being like, I just don't know what I'm doing. Like, I just don't know what I'm doing. I just have to accept this and move on.
And
So,
people are like, you're like the real life Hitch. I'm like, yes, we are
yeah, you are.
100%.
That's right. That's absolutely right, actually. That's hilarious that I didn't think of that before, but that is so true. That is so true. Oh
Isn't
my
that
God.
like,
I think it's because I like the idea of you as a fairy godmother. I love that
I like that
concept.
too. I like that too. I love the fairy godmother. And for you to have found that perfect lid to your pot, it makes me so happy. I remember the days of Instagram Live, and you were always there, always chiming in, boosting other people up. I knew you would be a very special person. And I've worked with a lot of people, and you were one of the most absorptive people, if I can, like, you just absorb things immediately and you're like, oh my gosh, yes. And so coachable. And you just, it's like you're locked and loaded. We give you a thing and you're like, I'm going to the grocery store and I'm going to bring my oranges. And so when you have guidance, most importantly, and I'm so glad that you enlisted us, but really, you did the heavy lifting and you did the thing, right? You can hire the best trainer in the world to try to lose 50 pounds and the best nutritionist, but if you're not going to change and take the advice that your team is giving you, you're not going to make progress. And what you did was you took, after every single call, you dutifully went back and you did the thing. And I couldn't be prouder of you. And I'm not In a second, I mean, we're going to post Bianca's photos on this page. You're going to see how gorgeous she is. And she's very
Oh, thank
humble and
you.
isn't talking about that, but her photos were gorgeous because she's gorgeous. And speaking of gorgeous, tell us about the text that you sent me over Thanksgiving. What was the gift that Derek got you for Christmas?
Oh, for Christmas. So I have this very cute, this is, he surprised me with this because we weren't originally going to do gifts, but I got him a gift. And so I think he was just really touched, but also just like, oh no, like now I have to get her something. So he was going through his Instagram, and it was an ad where you can make like a custom ornament. And so it's the two of us. I'll just see if I can. It's the two of us together. And I'm shocked that he managed to put this together himself. Like, he got my hair. I actually own those boots. Like, completely. And that's what he looks like. My husband is quite blonde. And it's just so sweet. He just kind of surprised me with it out of nowhere. And it was so touching. And I was trying for hours to be like, confess that this was your mother, because I get along really well with my mother-in-law. Like, she's hilarious. We drink really hard together. I usually have to leave my car there. But so I was like, tell me this was Mama Lou. And like, even now I'm waiting for her to like crack and call me from Florida and be like, it was 100% me. But no, he insists it was him. And I think that just kind of summarizes the whole thing. That's what you want. You want somebody who just for fun wants to be really sweet to you. It's going to make me cry. So we have to move quickly past this topic, because it's just really touching. And it's going to be on our tree this year. I took it down so that you could, I took it off the tree so that people could see it, because I don't know how well you can see the tree, but this is our Christmas tree. We're doing a little bit of remodeling on the other side of the house, so I made sure this was the actual background and not what's on the other side of the computer. But
Oh my
yeah,
gosh.
so just really sweet. And you know, it's just so nice to have someone to lean on. It's actually like a team. It's a team dynamic. It's not you trying to live up to somebody's expectations. It's not somebody running the show. It's just the two of you, you know, kind of working on it. And working on it's not even the right word, just in tandem. The two of you are just like in
your
tandem.
Your partners in life, which I love. And I'm going to have you send me a picture of the ornament so that we can post it on your webpage, on your page on the Smart Dating Academy site, in addition to your pictures from your photo shoot, so you can see how cute she is and their wedding photos. I mean, they literally are just like a little supermodel couple, but I'm so happy for you. Like, my face kind of hurts from smiling through this episode, as you can see. And do you have any last gems that you want to drop on our dear listener? Anything I haven't asked?
I can end it on a fun note, which I think was a good sign of things to come. I had thought of icebreakers for a long time on the website, like, you know, because on Bumble, women make the first move. So I thought, what can I ask this person that isn't, how are you? Right? Because it doesn't really give people much leeway. So I thought, okay, if you could be anything in the ocean, what would you be? Right? Because again, I'm a nerd. And looking back, I can't believe I actually went that route. But anyway, so if you could be anything in the ocean, what would you be? And this is true. I would say all of the men without fail just said great white shark. Just everybody, great white shark. Just had to be alpha apex predator. And so it was like hilarious, because I thought, well, this actually backfired, because I'm getting the exact same answer over and over again. I had one guy say octopus. Kudos to wherever you are right now in the universe. I'm sure you are also happily married. But Derek said hammerhead shark. And I laughed and I said, why would you go for shark and not go for great white? He said, well, hammerheads are actually more vicious. They actually attack more people and they eat more people. And I was like, you win. I was like, that's the most scientific answer I could have had. Because he was actually the last person I messaged before I was going to take a bit of a break again on Bumble. Because I did. I got overwhelmed by suitors all of a sudden. So I thought, I'm going to take a break. And he was the very last person I messaged. And that was the response I got. And I thought, oh, I got to give this a try. I have to. I thought, that's just hilarious.
So, hammerhead. I learned something new, you guys, today about the ocean, that hammerheads are more vicious than great white sharks. Go, Derek. That one, you know, you could have gone either way on that one. You could have been like, red flag on this one, who's looking for the highest, you know, level of predator. But I'm totally kidding. I'm so happy for you. We couldn't be happier for you. Lindsay and I send you massive love. And thank you so much for being on to tell your amazing meet cute story. You're the best storyteller, and I wish I could just like jump through the screen or the airwaves and give you a giant hug.
That is our drag. You and I have always been long distance. That's always been our issue.
Someday we will meet. Someday we will meet. I'm convinced.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. All right. I'm happy to share my story anytime and any medium, the Instagram live. You know, I just want the program to help more people and to do what it's done for me. Right. It changed my life. I'm happily married now. I want that for everybody listening. So it's going to make me cry. We have to have
this
session.
My God, you just made me cry. Oh, I love you, Bianca. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.